This is an exciting time of the year for us. It's also an exciting time in the timeline of God's calendar, wouldn't you say? Things that we've been hearing about, praying about, and just watching for are beginning to happen, aren't they? They're happening before our very eyes, as it were. Last week we were talking about the last few words that Jesus spoke while he was on the cross. And we talked about how those few words, those few phrases that he said may well have been his greatest sermon as he was speaking with his last dying breaths. And as he was enduring the pain of the beating, the whipping, the crucifixion, and so on and so on and so on, you would think that a normal person would respond with anger. Avenge me! Avenge my blood! You'll pay for what you did. But Jesus was thinking about you and I. He was thinking about us. He was thinking about, listen to this, he was thinking about future sinners.
There you go.
Of which I am one. Future sinners and past sinners. Right?
Right. Amen, brother.
Those words that he said on the cross, we've heard them so many times, it's just so easy to just glance right over them, and like a rock that you would skip across the water, our minds just skip across such important things that were said. And so it is my heart to bring these things and dig for some gold. Yeah. Because there's gold. There's gold right here. There's gold. But gold takes digging. But it's worth the time and the effort, isn't it?
Amen.
And last week we talked specifically about what Jesus said as he was looking down from the cross, and he sees, who does he see there? He sees his mama, and he sees his John the Beloved, who's his cousin. There's two other Marys there. Mary is a very common name back then. Mary Magdalene and mother or wife of Clopas. And he says to her, he says, woman, dear woman, here's your son, meaning John. And he says to John, he says, here's your mother. And so he was telling them, take care of each other. He was making provisions while looking down on the cross with only a few breaths left. He's making provisions for those that he loves. Isn't that something?
That's right. Amen.
So many things that he could have said.
Yeah.
So many things that he could have done. Wrongfully accused, sentenced to death like a criminal.
Yeah.
And here he is thinking about his mother and John, sinners. What are some of the other things he says? He says, Father, first thing he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. So all of the mockers, all of the soldiers, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then the one robber, the one thief that's on a cross next to him, he's in between thieves, right? One's mocking him. If you are who you say you are, come down from the cross. Save us. Whatever. He's mocking him. Mm-hmm. And the other one was different, wasn't he? He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And then he says to Mary, here is your son, and to John, here is your mother. Take care of each other. He's making provision for future generations, all generations to come. He's making provision for them all. And then, in Mark, if you would turn there with me, Mark 15, 34. Was anyone going to tell me that my mic was not on my ear? Or were you just going to let me walk around looking like a dope? Would not be the first time, mind you. Yeah. Oh, my wife would have been in on this one had she been here. She's not feeling great today, so keep her in your prayers. Mark 15, 34. I'm just going to go back a verse. It says, at the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me here? I'm your son. Why don't you save me? And we know that Jesus is responding out of his humanness. And we know that he is 100% human flesh and blood. And we know that he is 100% the Son of God. The deity, they would say. And as I began to study these things and search out and, in a sense, do some digging into the Scripture, would you turn with me to Psalm 22, verse 1? I want you to see something. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Exactly. Why are you far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. I'm going to go one more verse. Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and am not silent. David is venting at God. He's venting at God. Have you ever vented at God before?
Oh, yeah.
How many of you know God doesn't always do what we want him to do? Isn't that the truth? And so Jesus, now think about this. Jesus would have known this scripture very well. And so while he is on the cross, what is he doing? He's quoting scripture.
Yes, he is.
In his darkest hour, when he is near death, he's hurting. He's feeling abandoned by his heavenly Father. He's being mocked. He's been beat up. And here he is on the cross quoting scripture. I'm reminded of when Jesus, after being baptized by John, what did he do? He went to the desert, didn't he? And how long was he there? 40 days and 40 nights. And he was tempted. And how did he respond? With what? Scripture. He responded with Scripture again. And here he is, nearly dead, and he's quoting Scripture again. Let's read a little bit further. Let's go to verses 6 through 8. Now listen to this. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. I would say that's an accurate account of exactly what's going on with Jesus right now, wouldn't you say? He's naked on a cross. I am a worm, not a man, scorned by men, despised by the people. All who see me do what? They mock me. They hurl insults at me, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Doesn't that sound very similar to what's going on at the moment? Jesus is on the cross. He's quoting Scripture. Down a little farther, verse 60. Dogs have surrounded me. And he's not talking dogs. He's putting down these people that have surrounded him. He says, dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. Now listen to this. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. In some commentaries, it says that that is more than likely a reference to nakedness, because everything is exposed. I can see all my bones. My body is before everyone. People stare and they gloat over me. They divide, listen to this, they divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. So long before Jesus was even born, these words were spoken. Isn't that amazing? And here he is on the cross. Wow. And he's quoting Scripture. And he's saying, my God, why? Why have you forsaken me? The humanness of Jesus, abandoned by his Father in heaven. He says it twice, my God, my God. He's crying out. He's not quiet about it. As he's bearing my sin and your sin. I want to make mention of something, and I want to point this out to your attention. Jesus had existed with the Father since the beginning of time. Amen. In holy love and communion. Amen. Never for a moment was he ever in disharmony with God, the Holy Father. Never strain, never anger, never hurt, betrayal, suspicion. He lived in perfect union with his Father in heaven from the beginning of time. Well, how do we know this? Well, funny you should ask. Let's turn to John 1:1. As I was reading these scriptures, I was overwhelmed at all that is happening, all that is being spoken, even though beyond what words he's saying, what are they representing to future generations, to past generations? What is really being said? John 1:1. Now listen, we're talking about Jesus, the Son of God, being together with the Father since the beginning of time. Okay, now listen. In the beginning was the Word. Now this is John the Beloved, the one that was at the cross. Okay, he wrote this. And it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word equals Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, Jesus, was with God, and Jesus, the Word, was God. Do you see how that's leveling Jesus with God the Father? Okay. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The darkness is the world. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John, John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Now listen to this. This is just beautiful. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. Children born not of natural descent, not the normal way, nor of a human husband's decision or a husband's will, not like that, but born of God. The Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." It's almost a play on words, isn't it? If you kind of follow that around a little bit, it kind of goes like this. "From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Again, references Jesus as God. So again, we're talking about Jesus being with God the Father since the beginning of time and what their relationship was like. Now, he is on earth and he lives 33 and a half years a sinless life. He was pure. He was pure. Genesis 1:26. Just turn there. Just kind of walk around here a little bit with me, if you will. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Excuse me. We're talking baseball here in the beginning. In the big inning, right? Yeah. 1:26. "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." Us, our. See that? Plural. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. "For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement." So here we're talking about the Holy Spirit, like the Trinity, right? Okay? And so again, it shows the relationship of the Father and Son, and then it adds the Holy Spirit as well. And these three are one. One more scripture, John chapter 10, verse 30. Not 1 John, John. Very simply, very clearly, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. You see, Jesus' death was different than other people that had been crucified. Amen. It was different. And we see that by a few different things that happened. Okay? He gave out a loud cry. Now, there's two times, if you compare the synoptic gospels, each one sometimes gives a little bit different detail, which helps you to collectively paint a picture of what's going on, okay? Jesus cried out the first time, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then later on, a short, very, very short time later, he cries out again loudly. And the Bible says at that point, he gave up his last. And in one version, a couple versions, it says, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he gave up his last. Okay? And so most of the time, by the time the person gets to this point in the crucifixion process, there's not much left. There's not much left. Okay? Now let me quote Matthew Henry, which many of you would know is a commentary, if you will, helps to dig out some stuff. It's a good reference. It's really old, but it's really good, and there's others that are like this. He says this, normally they suffered long periods of complete agony, exhaustion, and then unconsciousness before dying. Okay? So Jesus is at this point right now where he should be unconscious. Okay? Or near that. And he's crying out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Now, this is in Aramaic, which would have been a popular language in this area at that time. It's different. In verses 37 through 39 of Mark chapter 15, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain. Now, here are some things that make Jesus' death different than the others, okay? So we're talking about how late in this process Jesus is physically even able to cry out in a loud voice. And there's some things I want to read to you here. But let's focus on this. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard this cry and saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. The centurion, now listen to this. The centurion had probably seen, now I'm completely speculating, but I think it's a fair statement to say this, that this centurion had seen hundreds of crucifixion, maybe even officiated hundreds. Okay, so here he is in front of Jesus, and Jesus is yelling. He's crying out when normally by this time they're near death or unconscious. This centurion sees this. He notices something's different here. Something is different. The curtain of the temple, called the veil, was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, important thing about this curtain, very quickly, is it separates the holy place from the most holy place. All right? It was a big, heavy curtain. Nobody was allowed to go there, only the priests, after they had purified themselves. I mean, there was a ritual process before they were even able to go in there. And it was such a scary place that they would tie a rope around them. Okay? They would tie a rope around them, bells on them, that if there was a problem and God got upset and killed the priest, at least they could get him out of there. Truth. So now, when Jesus cries out on the cross, there was an earthquake. In Matthew 27, verses 51 through 53, it says, the earth shook, rocks split, Tombs opened.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Tombs, you're telling me, opened up. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Holy people were raised to life that had died previously. They came out of their tombs and appeared to many people. Okay, that's some weird stuff. That's some weird stuff right there. That is the power of God. It's the power of God. And God is making a demonstration here. Wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say that? So as Jesus cries out these things, an earthquake happened, rocks split open, tombs opened up, people came back to life and walked around, it says, and talked to many people. Many, many people, it says. Unbelievable. Darkness, verse 33, came over the whole land, it says, from the sixth to the ninth hour. Even, listen, if I could just suggest this to you, even nature noticed. Even nature noticed. And paused, if I may, to honor the Savior. Honoring the Son of God. This centurion, which is a soldier that's in charge of many, 100 soldiers, he witnessed this very thing. And as Jesus cried out again, just let out a yell, and all these things happen, he notices, he says this, surely this man was the Son of God. This is a Roman soldier. Surely this man was the Son of God. He is not the same as all the others that have come and gone. Amen. At this hill called Golgotha, on this very cross. Now, this one is different. This one is something special. Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's quoting scripture in his hour of desperation. You know why he did that? Do you know why he would do that? Do you think maybe it was to direct us? Do you think maybe it was to direct us in our time of need? Think about that. He's quoting scripture in his hour of desperation with his last breath. He's quoting scripture. He's making provision for those he loves. Sinners that would come in generations down the road. Let me ask you something. In your own suffering, have you felt like maybe God had abandoned you? Have you felt like he didn't hear your prayers? Have you felt like he refused to answer you? Have you felt maybe even like he didn't care? Maybe he was taking too long to fit into your schedule. Maybe even you felt betrayed by God. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of this world, felt those very things. Amen. Between him and his Father for the first time in eternity. As he was carrying our sin, Jesus felt that abandonment by his Father that he had never known before. And he reacts in a human way. We react similarly similarly, not equal to. We react similarly when things in our lives don't go the way that we want. Jesus felt that very thing. But after he died and was put in that tomb, 3 days. 3 days. He rose again and was restored to his rightful place, the right hand of the Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. There's a scripture here, and I hope I can find it for you. In Psalm 16, verse 9 through 11, Bill, if you could make your way to the piano. Psalm 16, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Why? Verse 10. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Here it is again. King David, the psalmist, as it were, is prophesying, if you will, about what is to come. He's talking about Jesus. You will not abandon me to the grave. You won't let me stay there. The Bible says God raised him up from the grave. Nor will you let your Holy One see decay. It's like forecasting into the future hundreds of years later. Jesus is on the cross and he's dying and he's bloody. He's a mess. He's literally a physical mess. And he's thinking of you. He's thinking of me. That is love. And I'm reminded of that scripture in Romans. And that said, God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. You see, he didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up and make ourselves good and righteous and all these things, have enough chances to go to church and be holy and all these things. All of our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. Would you stand with me today? The best that we could ever hope to offer God is filthiness before him. We can't do it ourselves. Jesus, the sinless sacrifice, willingly gave himself once for all. I want to read you something. If you would just bear with me here. This is worth reading. I got this on my cell phone, so you have to. Listen to this now. During the 3 hours which the darkness continued, Jesus was in agony, wrestling with the powers of darkness and suffering his Father's displeasure against the sin of man, for which he was now making his soul an offering. Never were there 3 such hours since the day God created man upon the earth. Never such a dark and awful scene. It was the turning point of that great affair, men's redemption and salvation. Jesus uttered a complaint as we read, "Why have you forsaken me?" in Psalm 22, verse 1. Hereby he teaches us of what use the word of God is to direct us in prayer in our times of need. and recommends the use of scripture expressions in prayer. The believer may have tasted some drops of bitterness, but he can only form a very feeble idea of the greatness. Give me 1 second. Very feeble idea of the greatness of Christ's sufferings. Yet hence he learns something of the Savior's love to sinners. Hence he gets a deeper conviction of the vileness and evilness of sin and of how he owes to Christ, who delivers him from the wrath to come. His enemies wickedly ridiculed his complaint. Many of the reproaches cast upon the word of God and the people of God arise as here from the gross mistakes. Christ, just before he expired, spoke, listen to this, his full strength to show that his life was not forced from him, but was freely delivered into his Father's hands. Do you understand that? Jesus was not forced. He willingly gave it up. He was making a statement for all of eternity when he cried out that way. It is by my own will that I offer myself for mankind. You don't take my life from me. I give it. I give it. Does that say something to you? Because when I read it last night, I was like, you gotta be kidding. It's like a magnifying glass. It just brings these things out. He preserved enough of himself to make a statement in the way that he cried out, why have you forsaken me? Why? All of it was for you. I don't know where you're coming from today. Forgive me. I don't know where you're coming from today. I don't know if you've been going to church all your life. I don't know if you've never been to church once. But I want to tell you that there is a difference between religion and relationship. God desires, he desires a relationship with you. He wants to be close with you.